All right, here we go. We are worldwide live through EBS Radio Online. This is Gijs Minderhout calling in from Magalia, California to the simulcast conference call. Thank you all for listening in to the show tonight. We're still a few minutes away from the hour. We will have a live channeling session regarding DNA, and it is a topic from last week. Let's see, also yesterday we talked about that. So that's going to be interesting. DNA is connected with the evolution of our soul. What understandings do we need to open our DNA string? So let us hang in here for a moment and wait for Winfrey and Terry Brown to be present.
It sounds tricky.
Present.
You know, it sounds tricky or complicated to open. I can understand opening my heart, but opening my DNA?
That's why you're here tonight, Carolyn.
How do you do that?
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Marilyn. How are you?
Hi.
All right. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. And then welcome to the next call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Guess who?
Dharmananda.
Yeah.
There's only one voice like that, and that's Dharmananda. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well. All right.
You're going to guess. You can guess who everybody else is.
He's good.
All right. So again, I welcome all those folks that are joining in online at BBS Radio. This is a simulcast for the conference call. I have some people here present. I see Ben, his helicopter showing up in the distance, so he will be here shortly. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Ice, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Anytime you ask questions on the Wednesday call, I greatly... Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Chick Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Good evening, sir.
Thank you for being here. How's the weather in Texas, in Austin?
Lots of showers, on and off, and right at my house we've had about 3.5 inches of rain, and we're supposed to get some more.
All right.
Lucky you.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please, location.
It's Vin.
Vin, we welcome you. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you. I don't know why I'm answering you.
I understand why I'm asking it.
I see Terry's here. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And we are live on BBS. I'm going to turn the things off.
All right. I see Hives is pushing me over the edge. What time is it? It's 6:01. Terry, let's hear how he sounds.
Okay.
Okay, let me mute the lines here first.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Good evening, Terry.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here again.
Your voice is really weak, Terry.
Well, I don't know.
Can you get closer?
That's
a lot better, yeah.
Okay.
What'd you do, move your microphone?
I moved it a little closer, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine now.
Okay.
Okay. So, are we recording? No, let me stop the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is August 15th, 2016, when in Terry in Arizona, and everybody everywhere. And just to do a very quick lead-in to this call, because we're going to do a session with our sources. Yesterday's call, I was talking about DNA, and it wasn't a channeled call. It was me talking because I have learned a lot about DNA over the course of studying other people's information and asking our own questions on it at various times. And there is an extreme link between our DNA and our evolution. And in traditional medicine or traditional science, it is known that there are 12, I think, links or strands of DNA, and only in most people, only two are activated. And the others are considered what's called junk DNA. But I have come to the conclusion that the other 10 strands are not junk. They're not superfluous. They're actually rather important. And that DNA is the thing, it does two things. It is the blueprint for our bodies and who we are, and it is the link to the universe. It's like a bunch of little antennas that link to the greater universe. And the more expansive your reach is to the greater universe, the more links, strands of DNA open up. And it seems to me, from what I've understood, it's a very one-on-one relationship. As we open up, for example, as soon as you come into one of these calls, you may feel a certain energy in your body. Lots of people do, particularly on our Sunday call, but it's on all our calls, but we focus it on the Sunday call. And when we've talked about it, we have the idea that it's the energy of the higher realms, the Elohim, the Ra group, the one infinite creator, is actually activating our DNA. And then we lose it. Most of us lose it. Not all of us. We keep coming back to the call and it comes back again. And then after you're sufficiently connected to that energy, you start to not lose it, or you lose it less and less. And it starts to affect your life. And then things in your life start to shift. And you start to hold a higher energy. And one way of understanding this process is that when you are first coming into the calls, now this is my take on this. And some, I haven't asked these questions directly. That's why we're going to do a session on it. When you first come into the call, well, most people do not have a high level of DNA activation. And some people have a potential because they've had a high level of DNA activation in previous lifetimes. And when they come into our calls, they kind of go quickety-quick, and it just opens them up very quickly. And other people are activating, and maybe they haven't had high levels of activation in past lifetimes. So, and because you have had high levels in past lifetimes does not mean you automatically come in with a high level, because in the process of growing up, you depend on the parents you picked. If you picked parents that have a high level of DNA activation and are manifesting it, then the chances are you'll grow up with that. So people that have really good families tend to be move into this more quickly. And there's various reasons why you may not pick the parents that would be the highest parents to come in on. Maybe there's something you're supposed to learn from those. These are all interesting questions, and I'll try to come in to some of them tonight. If you were on the call yesterday, let me just unmute people and see how much noise we have and see if there's something that's burning in somebody that they think I should ask.
All callers are unmuted.
All right, we're unmuted.
Hello?
All right, we're muting again.
What do you got to say? What's the
Pardon
question?
Me?
What's the question?
Well, the question was, did you listen to yesterday's call?
Yeah,
some of it.
Who is that, Dharmananda?
Yeah.
And did you have a question? Did anyone have a question related to yesterday's call that I might choose to ask? Because we're going to talk to the sources.
Well, I have a question. This is May from Concord. I don't know if it relates to DNA, but I remember somebody asked a question yesterday that they only answered part of because they said something about it brought in the realms of the negative. And I was just, how do you work around the higher realms of the negative if you don't know what you're working with?
Don't call me.
Well,
jeez.
I don't know. Ask that on a Wednesday, okay? Because it's not necessarily directed to the DNA.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of information on the negative on the internet, on all kinds of stuff. And the reason that it's hard for us to ask those questions is because we're not just dealing with information when we're on this line. We are dealing with a group matrix. So when we ask about something, there is a great potential to bring in the energy of what we're asking about. And it's happened quite a few times, both in my private sessions with Terry and in the group sessions. And so it's really a risk, not just for Terry, but for all of us. You have to be careful about how you learn about the negative. And you should learn about it because learning about it increases your discernment. But you have to learn about it in such a way as, you know, you don't get preoccupied with it, because then you can attract it. You bring it in. Keep in mind, everything you talk about, everything you think about is kind of like moving into a matrix where you start to connect with what you're thinking about and what you're talking about. And particularly because we have such a big matrix on this call, it's particularly, especially in a channeling session, like sometimes I can go into things and it doesn't, you know, doesn't have the impact. But on a channeling session where we are creating a group matrix, we're not just listening to a voice through Terry. We are making a combination of our energies, and many of you sense that. And then when we ask a question, we draw things in because we're in this matrix. Okay? Does that make sense, May?
Kind of, sort of, yes and no, but I am learning. Thank you.
It's as with the news, you know, if you pay attention to negative news, you give it power, you know?
But on the other hand, if you don't pay attention, if you don't know what's going on, you don't have the right discernment, okay? And you get tricked. There are so many ways that we are being tricked by the news, by the newspapers, by the way we've been brought up, by history, you know, as I see it. So there is a certain amount of, I mean, unless you're going to go into a cave and be a hermit and live off the grid and the energy grid of everything, we have choices every day to make about various things, and so it takes a certain. And some people get mad at me for this, but every so often I talk about it, and I mean I've asked them questions because you know there's the idea that you should never talk about anything like that because you don't want to focus on it. But when I asked them, they said it's good to talk about it to a little extent, you know, occasionally. And the reason being that, number one, it helps discernment. And number two, it gives you a target for prayers, okay? Because there's things to pray about all of this. And sometimes people pray for the wrong thing, okay? Because they don't even know any better because it's what they've been trained. So in any case, anyone else have anything?
Yeah, I have a question. There's a number of people like online and stuff that claim that they have ways or you can directly upgrade your DNA. And I'm wondering if there's any benefit to that kind of thing, or is it better just do it indirectly? Spiritual.
Well, I'll tell you. Anytime you walk into a room, I mean, if I wanted to run this in a certain way, I could say we're a DNA upgrading thing. Come in. We're going to have a session on Saturday, but we're upgrading our DNA right now.
Right. Indirectly. Okay? Indirectly. As opposed to talking about directly. So.
The point is,
like I said, this may be better. I don't know.
Until your life changes to where your life is matching, you know, what you're aiming for, then if somebody tries to upgrade your DNA, it's not going to stick. There's all these things which I used to go to, New Age type events, where you can feel great, and most of the time it doesn't stick. Sometimes it does. Sometimes where it sticks is where people meet each other there at a higher level, and then they hold that in their space because they're in the same city. That helps it stick. Anyone else? Does that answer that question? Anyone else?
Get back to DNA.
Pardon me?
Let's get back to DNA.
Okay, we're going to get back.
The question I heard before we started actually was, you know, how do we open up our strands? Is there a way to accomplish that?
Well, we did talk about that yesterday, okay? And I mean, the quick answer is each strand represents a certain energy, a chakra, whatever, and you put yourself in positions where that energy is open. It could be coming to a conference call, okay? Going to a park and communing with nature. It's like people are going to be different. But the idea is if you are kind of just sitting there saying, okay, I want to open my strands, probably won't happen, okay? But you can listen to replays of our calls, particularly our Sunday calls. You know, find what gives you an elevated feeling. You can even go to a movie. You see, it's like there's temporary activations. But every time you do a temporary activation, you're training yourself. I mean, this is my conclusions on all this. So if somebody can say, boom, your DNA is activated, and you've changed for the rest of your life, let me know, okay? Because I'll send everybody there, okay? But not been my experience that it works that way, okay? All right, let's get...
Your DNA activation is actually in direct alignment with the opening of your chakras.
Yes. Yeah, how do you open your chakras? You can't tell your chakras, open up, heart, open up, open up, you know.
Like you said earlier, like involve yourself with uplifting positive circumstances, right? Kind of.
Yeah, and you be of service. You know, every time you genuinely help another person, and you're not coming, you're not saying, well, if I help this person, I'm going to open my DNA. Well, I got to be good, you know. Because then you get into the charity syndrome, where you're doing things, well, God will love me if I give charity. No, do it because you've opened your compassion and you feel another person's need and you choose to give something to them from your heart. And when you do that, you can't help but activate your heart chakra and your fourth strand of DNA. That's why some people give up their life to service, like Saint Mother Teresa, okay? Because as you do that, as you constantly help people, you constantly keep the energy going. Now, that's not for everybody. That's for a few people. Because on the other hand, another way to open up your chakra is to have great sex with people that love you and you love them. And that's not Mother Teresa's path, okay? Not that I know of. So
you know.
is that Marilyn Houseman laughing? No. All right, I'm muting you all. See you later.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
But in any case, the point is, it's not one size fits all. It's not that I can tell you, do this and it's going to work. The one thing I can say is that coming to our Sunday calls every Sunday, there's an energy on the call that we move into. And, it's like there's some people that have come for a year and suddenly it goes, bang, I got it, you know? So some people it happens right away. Some people it takes a while. But there's definitely an energy on the call that helps open your chakras, which then starts working on your DNA. And I don't know if anyone's done this. I do know that when people, some of the people have this, you know, come to our calls and suddenly connected with the energy, and then they spend the next 6 months listening to every call that we have posted on the Spirit Channel, because it's been a crash course in making this happen. And so it's up to you. If listening to calls three or four times a week on the replays or the archives is, if you're getting an impact from it, then do it. Because on the calls, you get the energy present. You also get a lot of wisdom, and you get a lot of keys. Sometimes one little piece of wisdom that you relate to, and this has happened to me a number of times, one little piece of wisdom can change your whole life. And you never know where that piece of wisdom is going to be. But a lot of them are on our calls. And you never know when it's going to come up or when it's going to be. That's just what I needed to hear. So that changes your DNA, okay? You know, everyone wants, including me, just an easy way to say, just do this. And I haven't found it. You know, it's like, it's each person is unique. So you can't say to everyone, just do this, because it won't work for everybody, okay? I mean, Mother Teresa has the path of a renunciate. Somebody else has the path of a sex maniac. And somebody else has the path of deep friendships with people. It's all different, you know? So everyone has to figure out their particular, the thing that turns you on, so to speak, that is also service to others, okay? And, you know, to sit there and be anxious about it and say, oh, God, that my DNA is not upgrading. I'm not going to graduate the realm. Well, what am I going to do? That's the worst thing you can do, okay? So, on that note, Let's hear Terry. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so let's get started. We're recording. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and do we have our sources present?
Yes, we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here to answer any questions to the best of our ability that you may have. Do you have questions?
Yes, we're going to talk about questions about DNA, and I remember we were doing one of our sessions on how the Elohim created the universe. And I didn't know we were going to go there, but we ended up talking about how the Elohim created amoebas and that amoebas were the first life form. And maybe I should say the first life form in the universe that had DNA and were actually sharing DNA. Could you just revisit that so other people that haven't heard that session could partake of that understanding?
Well, when the energies within the formation of matter coalesce, it is through the spinningness of the thread of ideas. And in spinning, the coalescing takes place of the energies from the one infinite creator. And the spinningness then creates consciousness. It is the spark of the one infinite creator. DNA is spun together by the coalescing of matter, and when it comes together in certain ways that supports life, then you have genetic material, you have the material being formed that support life. Then, as other energies move with it, it activates it in its helix form, and it is able to be duplicated.
Let me ask a quick question. That is, we know our bodies are made of cells. We know cells are made of molecules, and molecules are made of atoms. What is DNA made of? Is it made of cells?
DNA interacts with cells. It helps form cells in certain ways that the cells can then support life and can be duplicated as life grows.
So DNA is a precursor to cells.
Yes, it is the integral part of the fabric of cells.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about spinningness, spinningness implies frequency. Yes.
Yes, it does.
Something is spinning. It spins at a certain rate.
Yes, that is correct.
Now, when we have frequency, you know, having been a student of electronics when I was younger, there was something called resonance, where, like, a radio works as a, there's a tuning thing in a radio that has a capacitor and coil. The two of them together create a resonant frequency, which then allows that combination to pick up a radio station at that frequency. So, in other words, when you would tune the dial on the radio, you were actually changing the resonant frequency of the capacitor and the coil. Now,
yes.
It seems to me there's some correlation with DNA and the strands of DNA. Like, do the strands of DNA, since they're dealing with spinningness, they're dealing with frequency, does it have to do with anything comparable to the idea of resonance in electricity?
Yes. It sends signals throughout the body and coalesces to resonant frequencies.
Could you measure these frequencies? Like, could you say 10 billion cycles per second, 10,000 cycles per second?
These are measurable, yes.
Do the frequencies go faster than the speed of light, or lesser than?
Lesser than the speed of light.
Lesser than. Okay. But when we connect with, say, the Elohim, because you have a frequency, I think, and that when we tune into the frequencies of the Elohim, we're creating a resonance in our bodies, but it's not really faster than the speed of light. It's like, from the Elohim's perspective, there's no distance, so there's no speed. It's just there. Am I getting something here?
Yes, it is immediate. Or there, if not immediate, then as it takes some time for it to register through the body.
Mm-hmm. So, when we tune into the Elohim, what happens to our DNA?
Your whole body begins to resonate at the higher frequency if you are tracking it. If you are not tracking it, then it registers with the body at a lower frequency if it is something that you are very sensitive to. You can then track it at the speed the Elohim sends it. However, it takes some practice to be able to be sensitive to the high frequencies that are appearing within your space.
Now, somebody's on the call and they don't experience this. Do you have any recommendation for them?
To keep listening. You are not looking in the right place for the phenomena.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's not a mental phenomena. It's not something, and it's, while we're talking now, I could feel this energy, and it's hard to describe it because it's not a normal feeling, but I can feel an energy in my system. And that's, and that I think you're feeling me feeling it. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
And
it can appear as pink light.
Mm-hmm. So, essentially, it's like each strand of DNA has a frequency or more than one frequency connected to it.
Each strand resonates ideally at a separate set of frequencies and overtones. And if one does not activate that particular strand, then it does not perform. However, as one gets more sensitive to the invisible frequencies, then one can begin to activate the further strands, and their perceptions will increase, their sensitivity will increase, their sense of what is around them in the higher frequencies will take shape.
So, to just clarify that, what you're saying is it's not one frequency per strand. There are multiple frequencies and overtones of frequencies connecting with each strand of DNA. Yes?
Yes.
And, you know, there's a device called the Rife machine that sends that it's used for healing. No one ever says it's for DNA evolution, but it sends frequencies into the body, and the guy who invented it made a whole bunch of frequencies. Says this frequency, it's this, and this frequency, it's that. Does the Rife machine have frequencies in it that would shift DNA?
It could shift DNA. Well, there is a difference between activation of DNA that is already there or evolution of DNA that is not yet there, that needs to be evolved. And some people do not have all strands of DNA, and that would take evolution to begin to build their strands. Other people have the 12 strands, and they have not all been activated, but they're there to be activated.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying that some people don't have 12 strands? Some people have less?
Some people have less, and they produce an upgrade of their DNA.
Now, how about animals and plants, which also have DNA?
It is depending upon the plant or the animal what DNA is available. Many animals also have 12 strands.
Mm-hmm. Do advanced scientific people, maybe even from other planets, have the ability to measure all of this stuff on DNA, measure the frequencies, and document it for their own replication?
Yes, there have been genetic scientists in the past that have been able to measure it and to build deeper, more complete DNA, or to be able to take strands away.
Can someone program DNA remotely? Like the negative?
They do not have the program.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was some interesting phenomena of DNA that I had read about many years ago in a book called Secret Life of Plants. And it's where they would take a leaf from a plant, take it some distance from the plant, and maybe even very, very far, because maybe this was not even a function of distance. And they would put a lie detector on the plant, and if they tore up the leaf, damaged the leaf, burned the leaf, whatever they did, the lie detector on the plant would register.
Yes.
And is that because the DNA of a particular embodiment will always be connected, even if it's separated from the body. In other words, if a person has a heart, we had another session about this, and you can mention it, but if a person had a transplant, an organ transplant, then the DNA of the person who it was transplanted to is going into the person that's receiving the organ. And that would seem to mean that it moves part of the person's consciousness into that person. Could you just explain this a little bit?
It depends upon the focus of the individual with the original implanted organ. So if a person has a heart removed, say, and they're connected vibrationally and bonded really with that heart, their consciousness can follow that heart into the implanted heart and the person that has the heart implanted. And then the person can have some of the characteristics.
Like if somebody gets the heart of an alcoholic or a criminal, they may start feeling the tendencies of that being.
That is correct. If the consciousness of the being stays attached and moves mm-hmm. into that. However, even if the consciousness didn't, the heart is imbued with those frequencies and
mm-hmm.
can tend to bring in those frequencies of criminality or alcoholism into the subject that received the heart.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a sexual connection with another being, I would imagine there's a huge amount that happens on the DNA level, potentially. And could you share some of that, what happens when you have sex with someone else?
Then you tend to experience resonance with that individual. And take on some of the resonance which you may let go of or hold on to.
Mm-hmm. So is the resonance is actually potentially, if it's a high resonance, it's potentially activating the DNA, yes?
You could say that.
In other words, people come together and they don't have the same activations. One person may be stronger in one area, another person may be stronger in another area. And if they start coalescing in an intimate way, they start taking in the energies that they might have been lacking, and it will activate the DNA in that area. Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in one of our conversations, and this was surprising to me to understand, was that if you DNA does not just get activated and stick at a certain place. In other words, you don't just activate your fourth strand of DNA and your heart stays open. There's a constant interface between the DNA and life. So
that is correct, because one would not want to have their heart continually open if they were in a situation that called for a different response.
Mm-hmm.
Not all situations call for an open loving response to if someone is bullying someone, the best response might be to hit him in the face. It depends upon situations. What response would be the best response?
You know, it's a very interesting topic because historically, when there is negative, certain people have said, turn the other cheek, or nonviolence, or Gandhi, nonviolent. It's like, how does that relate to what you just said, which was hitting them in the face?
What is the lesson that the robber needs to learn? What is the lesson? Does he need to have ethics applied that he learns that he does not simply be a robber and take everything? Is there some ethics or justice that can be applied to him? If he is simply learning by the person loving him back that he can simply take everything without consequences.
In other words, if you're loving him back, you're reinforcing his behavior of sorts.
That is correct. It is an individual response that is needed to each situation.
Thank you. So, if someone is listening and they're, is knowledge of understanding DNA helpful in one's own evolution? It's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen regardless of whether you understand it. And it's connected to the chakra system, yes?
Yes. So even though one doesn't understand it, it still takes effect. So one can experience the rewards of having the chakras opened and of having the DNA expand and of having the extrasensory perception expand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know there's 12 strands of DNA, and the idea is each one tunes in to a more expanded frequency. And we have the idea that the first seven strands approximately match the first seven chakras. Could you share a little bit about the higher strands, 8 through 12?
There are chakras that are above the head. And if you look at individuals, and you could see auras. There are some people who are adepted praying that have a 5-foot light extending into the heavens over their head. These can help to activate more strands in the connection between the crown chakra and the celestial realm. These will activate more strands, and it gets into the media transfer of around the body. The transfer of the medians connected with the stars, connected with the outside life. As one gets so they can activate that, then their chakras, their seven chakras, will become more developed also. many people find it very hard to reach out of their individual space. Other people have the ability to reach out and to see whole realms of music, of technology, libraries, in a sense, that have been developed. And when one can come out of the box of the individual chakras and connect with the outer mediums, transfer of energy, connected with the star systems, and connected with other libraries of information, one can expand out and reach into them and pull in data that is needed, like if they're writing music, and they can move into a musical library and pull in a riff. And so there is a jump that one can make from being within their own individual chakra system to being able to reach outside and connect with other libraries of information and other energies from other star systems, which can greatly expand their well-being.
Some people, I think when people hear this, it sounds like they're traveling around in higher realms and going into a library and taking a book off a shelf. But it seems to me that when you expand, you can be in one of these higher energy forms.
Yes.
And it comes in like a something we use the word download. You suddenly have all these aha experiences.
Yes.
Or cognitions. Do both of those things happen? Or is it more of the second?
Which do you mean by both?
Well, the first thing is having the experience of, like, you're not in your body and you're walking into a library, or you're taking a book off of a shelf and reading the book.
No, it is not like that. It is
that
you are connected to a bigger world where you are able to simply connect with the individual knowledge that you wish to connect with and make it part of your own self. It is not like reading a book or taking a book off the shelf.
It kind of comes in like intuitions and seeing things in a wider expanse of energy.
That is correct.
Not like, it's almost like you don't know it's happening at a conscious level. You do and you don't, because it's not like you're still in your own center. You're still in your own body. You're not leaving your body while this is going on. You're just expanding.
Right. Yes.
So when we do our Sunday grid healing and people feel all connected and they feel the energy of the connection and they feel the energy of our sources, that is an example of the kind of expansion, if somebody has felt that, yes?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. So it's time to close this call. This was a fascinatingly interesting call. And is there anything else you'd like to say before we close?
No, we hope to see you on the other side while you are still in your body.
Right. We'll expand on that later. And, Hives, you want to open up the mics?
All right. Here he goes. Thank you so much. That was very interesting.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wayne and Terry.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Hyatt.
Good topic.
Thank you all.
Love to all. Thank you so much.